I want to read to you from the Epistle of Corinthians, the first Epistle of Corinthians. We'll read a few verses from the 15th chapter, which will bring to us the next step, which is concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I laboured more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And in this life only we have hope, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." The Lord will add to us a blessing as we've listened to the reading of God's word. I'm very grateful tonight that the gospel is something very pleasant to speak about. And it's been good to watch young people tracing the life of the Lord Jesus as depicted before us this evening. And they've actually depicted to us a real truth. And they've brought us up to the point of the death of Jesus Christ. And my mind turns to Hebrews 2:9, And as I watch them, I hear the voice of Scripture say, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour. For he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That's good news. There's not a person in this building tonight for which Jesus Christ has not died. And if I could briefly relate a story, I was at Toowoomba at a wedding yesterday, and my brother-in-law, the farmer next to him, had got himself into such straits that he rang on the telephone. And he said, well, what do you want me to come for? He said, just come. And he heard him burst into tears, and he went over there, and the farmer had the shotgun loaded on the table. And that took the nerve right out of me brother-in-law. But he told him the first thing he'd have to do would be unload it. And he did. He told him that Christ had died. There's no need for him to die and perish in his sin. And that's the good news tonight. The gospel to me embodies the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if I had time to take you and weave you through the scriptures, the one that had been depicted in the scene tonight, as spoken of in Romans 1, as the Son of God, it tells us in Romans 1 that Jesus Christ, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And if I come back to where I brought you to, and I could just briefly ask you a few questions, as the times we're nearly to go down at 1:30, I believe, and I want to just say a couple of thoughts about baptism. But let me put it this way. My Bible has told me tonight, and I tell you honestly and sincerely before the Creator God that is represented here before us tonight, that God loves every one of humanity. God's love has not changed. John 3:16 still stands secure and clear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through Christ might be saved. You see, there's no need for a person tonight to die in his sins to be condemned, because Christ has died. All but you say, does not the Bible say, Mr. Preacher, it is appointed unto men once to die? True. And after that, the judgment. Ah, Christ hath died. He's now the first fruits from the dead. The next thing is we that believe shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And God's plan will run according to the scriptures of truth. And God will not have to change at all. So let me put it to you this way. If Christ hath died then, who did he die for? Praise God, it was for me. He died for a sinner like me. And he died for a sinner like... It's nothing to be ashamed of to admit that you're a sinner. That's one of the tragedies of the modernistic world today. They don't want to admit their sinnership before God. But I was only talking to the Bible class this morning, and when it comes to the great judgment at the end, the books will be opened. And I said to the lad next to me, Jason Bray, I said, would you like to have the deed that you've done on the 26th of May? And he looked at me. I said, recorded. God's got it all recorded. But I tell you something tonight. The precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary will blot out every sin that you've committed. And you can stand brank and span new in Christ. Ah, yes, it says here, if Christ is not risen, I may as well cease talking right now. My preaching's vain, the Bible says, if Christ has not risen. It's hopeless, it's useless, it's without effect, if Christ is not risen. Ah, but 500 saw him at once. And you think I'd have been one of them? What do you think I'd have said? He's alive! He's alive! That's what I'd have said. Look at the man! Declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. He's alive, friend. Oh, but somebody says, as they say this morning, he's not doing much. He's silent. He's just letting the devil do the work for him. And the devil's bringing it to pass very quick. And I'd be a traitor to the truth if I didn't tell you the Christ that died and was buried and rose again and after 40 days ascended to heaven. For I would be a traitor if I didn't tell you. He's coming again. It could be tonight. You ready to meet him? Is your name written in the book of life? Do you know the Lord? Oh, me preaching's not in vain, he's alive. Who it says that if Christ has not risen, your faith's in vain. What? I get on my bended knee and talk to my lovely Lord and that's in vain? Why, he answers me! And if you want the real truth, he's talking to me real hard at the moment from the book of Malachi. Does a man rob God? And I'm riding along. And it's as if God says, yes, in time you've robbed me. Why, preachers of 4 past days to stand in this pulpit and preach for 5 minutes would be on their knees for 3/4 of an hour. Why, we preachers are on our feet for 3/4 of an hour and on our knees for 5. Who is our faith vain? Oh, faith's the telescope to God. It brings the thing very near and we're looking, oh, what a saviour he is. Do you know something? Just as you lads were holding a hard job. Come on, be honest. My blessed that he come all the way from the free past. If Christ be not raised, but because he's risen, I've not a false witness. I'm a witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, well, let us hurry down a bit. And in verse 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. The very thing that you've placed in Christ that night I got saved, simple faith in a lovely Christ, brought all the joy and peace to a troubled heart and dismissed the trouble and gave me deep settled peace that I never had for 3 weeks. Oh, faith's for real. Oh, but your faith is vain, ye are yet in the sins. You know what I could say tonight, and I'll be a good, honest, loving, kind-hearted, tender preacher, and I could point the finger at any one of you in this audience tonight, and I don't know a lot of you, and you know I could say, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead, and he's not alive and at God's right hand, every one of you are yet in your sin, and your sin isn't forgiven. That's a tragic thing, isn't it? Imagine sitting in your seat tonight and your sin is not forgiven. I want to tell you something. Listen to this. The lovely Lord Jesus says that through death, that they spoke of through death, he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil. Are in death, he destroyed him who had power over death. Now the Lord Jesus Christ has robbed him of the power of death. He's been into death. He's stripped him of the power. He holds the keys and he's come out of death and he's brought others with him as a testimony to the fact of who he is, the Lord Jesus. Oh, but listen, that's not all. And through death he delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You afraid of death? Well, I know I could go on and explain it better, but I won't go fully into it. How there's physical death, but there's something else that the Lord Jesus suffered on the cross. He physically died on the cross, if I know it and understand it with my wee mind. Ah, but the Lord Jesus Christ suffered separation from God the Father. that every one of us tonight that have sinned in the sight of a holy God, for the Bible says all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death, and because it's appointed unto man once to die, the lovely Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour of sinners, of men and women, boys and girls. That Saviour went into the depths of death and is rendered him powerless over death. He holds the keys of death tonight. And so the person that believes in Jesus Christ can put his faith and trust, and he can lay his head upon the pillow in faith and know that it's right with God. You know, I don't fear as I go to sleep tonight. I won't fear whether the Lord comes during the night or not. He'll come for me, because he bought me and he saved me. Will he come for you, friend? Will he? I'm led to believe tonight, as to save a bit of time, as I led to believe tonight, that there are some people, more than one, that are going to pass through the waters of baptism. And I believe this is one of the greatest examples to the preaching of the gospel. In fact, my father used to preach baptism with the gospel, and in those days, if you weren't prepared to be baptized, you weren't for real. You weren't for real. Sometimes I look back, I wonder why I stood off for 2 years and wasn't baptized myself, but simply I didn't understand it. I'll tell you something, if you don't understand it, I haven't got time to go into it right now, but if you don't understand baptism, don't you hold back, because there should not be an unbaptized believer in the New Testament church. There shouldn't be an unbaptized believer in the New Testament church. And this, what you're going to witness tonight, as these folks pass through the waters of baptism, it's going to be a baptism by immersion. It's going to be what we call believer's baptism. That is, you believe first, you're baptized second. Got the picture? And it's a believer's baptism by immersion. It isn't sprinkling, because you know what you see in the believer's baptism by immersion? You see three things: death, burial, resurrection. Clear and plain. You'll see it. That's if you can fit in down there tonight. But you'll see a person standing beside the tank, full of water. But the water that's in the tank isn't going to dismiss one of the sins that they've committed. The water does not put away their sin. The baptism doesn't put away their sin. The baptism marks them out. Baptism marks them out. Just the same as that word in Romans 1, declared to be the Son of God, actually means marked out to be. All the boundaries were set by God. And there are going to be people tonight that I'll look at, and I don't know who they are right now, but I'll look at them as they walk past through the waters of baptism, and I'll say, that person believes in Christ. That person has accepted Jesus Christ as their Saviour. And I'll be able to say, they're just spelling it out. They're testifying to the fact that they've died with him, they've been buried, and they're raised to walk in newness of life. Oh, and what a life it is to walk with Christ. Ah, it's a sweet and precious walk, isn't it? Yes. And you see, that's one thing that sprinkling cannot do. You cannot fit death, burial and resurrection in sprinkling. Sprinkling's just a little bit of water on your head, and it isn't the teaching of the New Testament church. That's why it's not taught here. But it's baptism by immersion. Now, there was a man one day in Acts chapter 9, and I won't go into the story, but he had been told the gospel clear and plain. And I love the story, it just thrills my soul. And he said to the man, Philip the preacher, he said to him, look, as I pass in a pool of water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? They stopped the chariots. And he said this to him: if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. And the eunuch looked at Philip and he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He says, right, boy, we do it. Ah, yeah. There's a commentary written by Matthew Henry, and I don't degrade him, I've got his commentary, but he says that they baptised him by immersion because they never had the necessary equipment to do the sprinkling. Well, I never passed me merit at school. I never got far with education and maths and sums and that, but I tell you what, I could have sprinkled him with anything. With me hand and sprinkled him. Could have took off me shoe and sprinkled him. Ah, but the Lord Jesus, what did he do? It says with Jesus and John the Baptist, they both of them went down into the water. An act that was absolutely unnecessary if sprinkling was sufficient. Ah, no, sprinkling isn't death. Let me ask you, have you died? When did you die? Well, I tell you what, we've had three deaths in our family. My sister first, my father second, and my lovely mother third. You know what they did with those three? We attended a burial service because they were dead. They died. No matter how loving hands could fondle them, we buried them. Is that the end? Ah, no, if that was the only hope we had got, this book says we'd be all men most miserable. But I'm not miserable tonight. I'll see my sister. I'll see my mother. I'll see my father in the glory in heaven itself. Will I see you, friend? Oh, I'm not saying join this church at Acacia Ridge. They're lovely people. I love them. I'm saying tonight, take Christ. Just take Christ and say, oh God, I'm the sinner. You died for me. Thank you, God, for sending your Son to die for me. Say what you like. I've finished with written prayers and things now. It must be coming from the heart, a truthful confession. It must be an honest statement, because you can't fool God. You could fool me, but you can't fool God. Will you come to him tonight? And I'll tell you what Jesus says. Him. Mark the statement, I'm quoting scripture. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Don't try and change yourself, you'll muck it up. Let Christ do the alteration and the changing. He'll make you the greatest person you could ever be. He'll give you the greatest joy that you could ever have. He'll give you the only deep settled peace that you'll ever find. And he'll give you a purpose for living. You'll have a home in heaven. You'll have the same wonderful Saviour that I've got. And we'll both be making for the pearly gates of heaven. Through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Will you take him?